Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, glad you're with us here on this Thursday live at Everbank. Jaguars Today, 1010 XL 92.5 FM. A little double dip of Paul Spicer right there. Glad we got that second highlight in there, Tony. Because the first one, and he falls down. Paul Spicer happens to touch him and gets a sack. Spicer's probably like, come on, man, I made more plays than that in my time. You know, it's funny, when we first got here doing Jaguars Today, I went through, I said, Fortunato, open up the audio archives. You got to have the highlights of every play practically that's ever been run here, right? Well, that was about it from the Paul Spicer archive, right?
Right.
There. You know, they don't have every single moment of every single game, so you hear some of the best highlights that we've picked out for some of these opens. Glad you're with us today, and boy, yesterday, Tony, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, they get kind of a veteran's day off. It's funny what qualifies you as a veteran in that wide receiver
corps. Depends on where you are.
Right, and I mean, veteran just means you're not a rookie. That's the technical definition, so it's an accurate description, but usually you think of veteran day off, a guy like Mercedes Lewis, guy who's been in the league for close to 10 years, something like that, and is up there a little bit, and you're trying to manage his practice snaps. But, boy, does anyone have any issue with how many days they want to give Allen Robinson off from here to the beginning of the season after
nope.
we see what happened with Kelvin Benjamin,
nope.
honestly? And we knew what it probably was going to be yesterday when you see a non-contact knee injury where the knee buckles. Torn ACL is the great likelihood, just like we felt like that was the case with Dante Fowler Jr., but no one's going to say it until you have official confirmation
sure.
on it. And that's a huge blow, Tony. And, you know, look, nobody's rooting for him to get hurt. But the fact of the matter is, when Carolina comes in, their most dangerous weapon in the passing game is gone out of that arsenal. Now, Greg Olsen's still a very accomplished tight end, no question about it. But nobody in that wide receiver core should scare you a lick. And if this Jaguars secondary, particularly the cornerback group, is as improved as we've hoped they are, and as deep as we think they are, and as talented as we think they are, this should be a great opportunity for the Jags to go out there and make life very difficult for that Panther offense.
Yeah, it's kind of like how opponents felt going up against the Jags in, like, 2013, right? I mean, it's kind of the same feeling going up against Carolina. It's like, who's going to make any plays against us on this team, right? I mean, really, who's going to make any plays against us on this team? We get it. They have a dynamic playmaking quarterback.
No
they
doubt.
Have a really good tight end. They're trying to figure out what that backfield's going to look like, too.
Jonathan Stewart is talented.
He is talented.
But he's injury prone.
But with D'Angelo gone and everything else that they're trying to figure out there in Carolina, what are they on offense right now? Well, they were a team that threw it up and let Kelvin Benjamin make plays, that threw it up and let Greg Olsen make plays. Well, half of that is gone now. And what do they have as far as playmakers in that receiving corps? Now, I know they're probably up there doing radio today in Carolina saying, well, it just means that Funches has to step up, and this guy has to step up. And
Funches, Jericho, who, by the way, tweaked his hamstring yesterday.
Right, and Jericho Cotchery has to be that veteran leader on the field, and he just makes plays on third down for us. Well, you can rely on that all you want. We know how that feels, right? Like in Jacksonville, we know how it feels to go into a season, into game week, saying, let's hope this guy can make a couple plays for us. And that's where Carolina is right now in the receiving corps.
Look, these guys are professional receivers, but what happens is, Tony, you take the guy out that drew the double teams, right? And now all of a sudden, a lesser player is getting the double teams. You
yep.
can double team Greg Olsen the whole game with pretty much, you know, not much fear on the outside. Now, Ted Ginn, when he has had success as a receiver in the National Football League, it's been with Carolina primarily. So they'll use him to try to take some shots down the field. But look, I'm sure in Carolina, the narrative is like, well, you know, at least looking at the week one opponent, who's going to really scare us on that Jaguar offense? Okay, they got Julius Thomas, an accomplished tight end.
Sure.
Who's going to get him the football? Oh, you're going to tell me T.J. Yeldon or any of those other backs that couldn't run the ball at all to save their life last year? Allen Robinson, this is the guy they're hanging their hat on. You know, he only played 10 games as a rookie. He was okay. You know, that's their narrative right now.
Sure.
And until proven wrong, I can understand that narrative. We're a lot closer. Maybe the Carolina Panthers fans and media and organization feels like they're better suited than we think they are to deal with this loss. But there are just some guys that are irreplaceable. You can't replace the athleticism and the size of Kelvin Benjamin. There's
no.
just not guys available. Even if you bring in a Reggie Wayne or whomever is out there, I think Jared Boykin, Wes Welker, a few of the others that are floating around out there, they're not going to give you what Kelvin Benjamin was going to
sure.
get.
Sure, look, most teams in this league are in a position where if their first-round draft pick gets hurt, it's really bad. Like, it's just a bad situation because you can't overcome losing that kind of talent off your roster for an extended period of time, and that's the position Carolina's obviously in. They select Kelvin Benjamin, what was he, 28th in the first round last year?
Whatever pick they had, yeah.
Late.
He was in the 20s.
Yeah, because they were a really good football team the year before. But that defense was fierce, and maybe the defense is going to carry him again this year, but that wasn't a really good offensive team last year. And to lose a guy who caught 70-plus passes, 1,000 yards, and 9 touchdowns, and was targeted in the red zone as much as any player in the National Football League in your offense, losing that kind of player and athlete is going to show up somewhere.
Well, the one thing Carolina does have going for them, and as way of explaining how bad their offense was, we know Cam Newton was hurt for a lot of the year, particularly the first half of the year.
Yeah.
And so they were very conservative with how they use him. Cam Newton's just a guy that you can't worry about him getting hurt, right? You've got to let him play his game. You got to let him play, not with reckless abandon, but without the fear. He can't be thinking, oh, I can't take off and run, I'm going to get hit.
Yeah, he's bigger than the guys that are hitting him.
Generally,
that's a rarity.
He is, right? And he is oftentimes quicker and more athletic than the same guys on the other side. So he being healthy, you would think, is going to put more on himself with his feet. And that's where you got to be careful. As the play gets extended and extended, if you don't get him on the ground, he's a big guy like Roethlisberger. He'll shake off hits. You got to get this guy and make sure you get him on the ground, because if you don't, all of a sudden you look up and he's escaping out the backside and maybe pulling up at the last second and chucking one down the field, or he's taking off and running and killing you, especially on those third downs when it's time to get him off the field. So, but a big boost to the Jags' chances, flat out. Nobody's wishing for it to happen.
No.
But the facts of the matter is, hey, knowing Carolina's feeling sorry that the Jags aren't going to have Dante Fowler Jr. out there, and the Jags expected a big impact out of him, much like Kelvin Benjamin gave them a big impact in his rookie year. So, you know, that's the National Football League in a nutshell right there.
Kelvin Benjamin, Louis Delmas, and possibly Tom Brady.
First 3 weeks. You know, there was some thought about this, the whole Brady thing. It seems like the federal judge is almost trying to retry the case, which is not supposed to be what this is about.
No.
It's supposed to be about a procedural thing. Does the NFL kind of have the right to do what they did?
It's a labor dispute, essentially.
Right, more so than a facts of the case dispute. But the judge said that the suspension is supposed to start on September 5th, right? And he wants them to re-adjourn on August 31st to try to get this thing resolved. Mm-hmm. If they can't settle it between the two parties themselves with some help from the middle, then he is going to take it under advisement. He's going to make a ruling. He doesn't know if he'll have that by September 5th. That September 5th is the Saturday after the Patriots' final preseason game. That's when Tom Brady's suspension would go into effect. So there's a great expectation that Brady's camp would be able to get an injunction temporarily. Imagine this scenario, Tony. Imagine he gets the injunction. He plays week one. The ruling comes down. We're going to cut this thing in half down to 2 games. Oh, all of a sudden, 2 games is weeks 2 and 3. That's the new scenario I'm pulling for right now.
That'd be nice.
Brady, you know,
any way that he misses the Jacksonville game is a good scenario.
Right, I don't want him to get hurt. He's not hurt, but you know, you earned your suspension. Let's uphold that, Judge. Do the right thing here, Judge, and make sure you delay it if you're going to cut it to 2. Delay it. Let him play against Pittsburgh. Let him have his big ring ceremony night in Foxborough, whatever he wants to do. And then week 3, we'll see some Garoppolo.
Yeah, no, I like they showed the New England broadcast of their week 1 preseason game on NFL Network, and it was just nauseating. The whole time I was just like, they've got those people on the sideline with their free Brady hats. And,
those people.
Oh, my gosh.
Enough of those people.
Ugh.
We're going to hear from our quarterback here in Jacksonville today, Blake Bortles, congregating with the media yesterday. Likewise, Gus Bradley, all that coming up. We'll take your calls today at 641-1010. Likewise, your texts on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line at the same number, 641-1010. A question of the day today, Tony, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Which long shot are you pulling hardest for to make the Jaguars final 53-man roster? You define long shot how you like, but which player who is not maybe either a household name or certainly a guy who's got a locked-up roster spot, no question, who are you? Who's kind of your guy that you're following along and you either hope or are most curious to see if that person ends up on the final opening day roster for the Jacksonville Jaguars on the 53? So share your thoughts with us. at MD_1010XL on Twitter, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler, and of course on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. Phone lines open to you. We'll hear from Gus Bradley coming back, a little from Blake Bortles coming up as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at EverBank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today live at EverBank Field in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios. 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board. Sad story, I guess. I don't know how to characterize it. I guess sad is as apropos as anything, Tony. Eric Kramer, former quarterback with the Lions, the Bears, apparently tried to kill himself the other night and was unsuccessful. He survived the attempt, shot himself. He's currently hospitalized. His ex-wife, Marshawn, spoke to NBC News and claimed that the suicide attempt was a result of Kramer's ongoing depression, which she credits to his time spent in the NFL. Kramer is one of these guys that we have seen on Radio Row at the Super Bowl with the Gridiron Greats group, right, that goes around. And also with the group with Ray Lucas that talks about basically suffering from physical trauma leading them down a path of oftentimes depression or addiction to painkillers and all the fallout. Kramer's a guy who was really messed up for a number of years. I didn't know that his son died in high school when he was in high school, so I'm sure that had a big impact on him as well. But you know, you hear more and more about it. These guys, I don't know, you know, what Eric Kramer's brain looks like, but chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE, as it is shortened to, you know, the scientists say, the doctors say, it has a profound effect on your brain. And here's another example of a guy. There's no way you can quantify if it was strictly from the NFL or if he was predisposed to it. I don't think at this point in time with the medical knowledge that we have.
No, but the conversation comes back up again.
Again and again. They attribute it to that.
Yeah, and it's that people inside that family, you know, when his wife is saying it was a different person, like he just became a different person, you know, playing football and going through that. And
his
then
personality changed.
Right, after he finished up his career, it wasn't the guy I married. You know, when she's saying stuff like that, and I get people change, when there is some evidence of, you know, you talk about what happened with Junior Seau and other guys that have been around this league and the long-term effects of playing the game, it's a real conversation to have. And the idea that Eric Kramer, again, he wasn't a prolific player in the National Football League. He was an okay quarterback in the NFL.
He had his moments.
Right. He had like a 10-year career, something like that. He was an okay quarterback in the league, and he's dealing with the same issues that a guy that at the top of the sport, a guy like Junior Seau, is dealing with. And obviously he's been in the news because he went into the Hall of Fame a couple weeks ago, and the NFL was all kinds of nervous about what his family was and wasn't going to say. You know, if they gave them a microphone to talk about Junior, what were they going to say? And the family handled it the right way. They just talked about Junior as a player and going into the Hall of Fame. But this is a serious conversation. It's why, you know, when the lawsuits come up about what the NFL needs to do taking care of these former players, and people say that it is enough, what they're offering is enough, and others are arguing that it isn't, it's guys like Kramer and Junior that are dealing with these potentially very serious, and in some cases life-threatening, issues in their own lives because they chose to play this game. Then, look, it's just a discussion that is going to continue to go on, and every now and then we're going to have one of these stories that is as sad as what's going on with Eric Kramer and his family that's going to pop up, because this is a real result of playing football.
I don't know if I don't want to be naive, but I don't know if the NFL was strictly trying to bar the Seau family from having its say on concussions, because they did change the policy a few years ago. Now, did they do that? I can't remember the timeline of when Junior Seau took his own life, but I don't know if they were anticipating this issue coming up in the future, but they decided a few years ago, we're going to put on a video presentation highlighting career of the deceased inductees.
I don't think they made that decision because it was the Seau family. They were doing what they had decided to do because that was their protocol, right? And it was that Seau was such a big figure in football for so long, and all these guys are Hall of Famers, right? But he was such a big figure in football for so long, and the ending of his life was so tragic that there were a lot of people who wanted his family, even if it wasn't what the protocol was for the Hall of Fame at this time, to have the opportunity to talk about Junior. And the Hall of Fame kept saying, no, 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 you know, this is what we do. You know, with players that are going in posthumously, this is how we treat that situation. I think the NFL was nervous about what they were going to say. I don't think that's why they were fighting the Seau family talking for as long as they did. I think that they were seriously considering the other family members that have come to the Hall of Fame after their family has passed.
Right, say, we want to do that.
Right, that has been brought in that didn't get the opportunity. Why do we give her the opportunity and not all these other victims?
Right,
too?
Just because we feel Seau's a better player,
right,
or whatever.
Didn't right, I think
fair.
That was what they were considering, and then putting the Seau family in front of a microphone. What will they say about what happened with Junior, especially towards the end of his life?
All right, let's go to the phone, 641-1010, if you'd like to weigh in on anything. You can certainly get on board at that number or hit us up on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Let's hear from Gus Bradley this morning as he talked yesterday after practice, and here's what he opened up with.
It's good. We had three really challenging practices. You look at Monday and then yesterday and then today. We pushed them through. And I think we mentioned this when training camp started. There's going to be days like this or weeks like this. So tomorrow will be more of a walkthrough mode for them. But we got another over 50-some plays. Again, worked the red zone area. Heavy emphasis in the red zone, especially the last week and a half of training camp. And, you know, almost every day, some sort of a red zone opportunity. And then, you know, another added period of New York. So two periods today, third down and some red zone.
Again, two periods out of probably about a dozen or so. It's usually around there, a little, sometimes a little less, sometimes a little bit more in terms. So you're talking about maybe 1/6 of the time you're even thinking about your opponent here, which is a far cry from what you would get during the course of the regular season. So you're a little bit more aware of what they're throwing at you this week, but you're more concerned, much more concerned with what you're putting out there and what you're trying to accomplish rather than what defense it's going to fit against and what that offense is going to throw against.
Sure. It's still week two of the preseason, so there'll be more game planning than there was week one, but not a ton of it. I do like hearing how focused they are on red zone work, considering how terrible they were in that area last year. And it was good on Friday. Week one against the Pittsburgh Steelers, it was good on Friday for this team in the red zone, but it was certainly something they needed to work on going from 2014 to 15. We saw when, who was it that did their own top 100 players, and Julius Thomas was the only guy in there. I can't remember who put together that list. But talking about Julius Thomas, he had some stats on Blake Bortles, specifically in the red zone because of how much of a red zone target Julius Thomas is, and it was like the fifth worst quarterback basically on the QBR rankings since 2006. That's the kind of season he had last year in that area of the field, which is beyond terrible and has to get so, so, so much better, and hopefully some of the weapons surrounding him will help him get there. But like hearing how hard they're working on that specific area of the field because it is so critical for a team that wasn't able to score points last year.
Yeah, no question. And even though, you know, they had success on Friday night, I don't know if they're going for it on 4th and 4.
Yeah, not sure.
You know what I mean? In the regular season there. So, I mean, that could be a case where, once again, nothing was open in the end zone. They hit a running back underneath. He tried to make a play, and Bernard Pierce hurdling a defender. But ultimately, he came up 4 yards short. And I think most times in that situation that early in the game, they're taking the points.
Probably.
So that touchdown probably never happens in the regular season.
Probably not. Gus Bradley, speaking after practice yesterday, also talked about Blake Bortles, who says that his mechanics look tighter on tape. Does Coach Bradley agree?
I think it shows. I think we see it out in the practice field every day. You know, just the accuracy, even the types of the ball coming out of his hand, the tightness of it, the spirals, you know, all those, I think, concepts. And with his arm, I think he feels stronger. So,
all right. Well, that's just more evidence that what they see with their naked eye. Blake says he's seeing that on tape, and we'll hear from Blake coming up in a few minutes, and you can hear from his own mouth. Continuing on, we had John Osier in here yesterday with the Oh No segment from Jaguars.com, and he said one of the things he was interested in asking Gus about was the return of Marquise Lee. What is the timetable? Originally, we were told about 2 weeks, Tony. It's been about 2 weeks, so
yeah.
What's the new timetable on Marquise Lee?
Well, everything I hear, he's making really good progress. Where it, you know, we were hoping for 4 weeks, could be 6 to 8, somewhere in there. Everything now is back to where it's 4 weeks, or, you know, to where, you know, it's leaning more towards that. So that's a good sign.
Is that okay. What we're hearing?
Okay, I guess technically when it happened, it was about 4 weeks from a preseason week 3 game. Technically.
Does that sound right? Was that what we heard initially, 4 weeks? I always was under the impression it was going to be a little quicker than that.
I don't remember. I know they said week 3 of the preseason was when they were eyeing his return.
Even the idea, don't even bring up the specter of 6 to 8 weeks.
No.
But to me, that wasn't about what Gus said. It was about how he said it. Just listen for it. All right? Play it again. Play it again, Tyler.
Well, everything I hear, he's making really good progress.
It's just that breath, like, man, well, here we go. You know, I don't know. Well. I don't. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, Tony. I just feel like I don't know if he's trying to be nasty about it or
right. We're projecting our own feelings.
We may
on the
be.
Subject,
we're
gosh.
All like, well, here we go again. look, get back healthy again. If you have Marquise Lee, Julius Thomas, and Jonathan Cyprien 100% for Week 1, I'll shut up and we'll be happy about it. Right?
Sure, but there's
no guarantee of that happening at this point in time.
No, and look, as far as you know, aggravating injuries goes, I would feel a lot more skeptical about Marquise Lee getting
Correct.
Through a preseason game than T.J. Yeldon.
Well, and for these other guys, once a bone break heals, it generally, they tell you, it heals even stronger than before you broke it, right?
Yeah.
So you shouldn't be too much of a risk for re-aggravating as long as you let that thing heal completely. These soft tissue injuries, you're right, tend to linger.
Yeah, especially for a guy like Marquise. They feel like they've been lingering probably for 2.5 years. And it's something he talked about in the offseason too, right? He was saying, I know how to deal with injuries better. Well, I don't think he wanted to have to deal with 1 5 days into camp and deal with it better than he did last year, but that's the position that he finds himself in. One last thought from Gus Bradley after practice yesterday. Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns getting the days off. What was his reaction to that?
Yeah, I think it's starting to manage with Allen Robinson and Hurns. Those guys, again, kind of combination of the GPS and what they've done the last couple of days, so just felt like to give them a day off would be good.
All right, well, you know, like we said.
I bet those veteran players, they hear the GPS numbers, they just lose their mind a little bit.
You know, in Philadelphia, where they pay more attention to this kind of stuff than anywhere so far, they're not sure if DeMarco Murray's even going to play. He's healthy, Tony. He practices. They didn't play him in the first preseason game because the GPS indicated they shouldn't. And he's like, I don't know. You're going to have to ask Chip Kelly. I have no idea. I want to play. I'm healthy.
Right.
I'm good to go.
If I don't do these 5 practice reps, can I play?
Right. Can I take 5 reps in the game? it sounds like he wants at least, dip his toe in the water. Look, DeMarco Murray, big workload last year. We understand all of that. But
I'm not saying I don't understand it.
No, I'm just saying we get it.
Yeah,
but, you know.
That I don't think it's probably a good thing in the long run for the NFL to measure how much these guys are actually being worked, right? I think in the end that's probably a good thing, and it may prevent some injuries going into the future, but I just imagine guys like, you know, but so especially guys that were here when the team got started. My
you
goodness.
Gotta be kidding me. GPS, what is this nonsense? All right, there you go. A little bit from Gus Bradley coming up. You'll hear from Blake Bortles as well. We'll open the phone lines up to you at 641-1010 if you'd like to get in and comment on Jaguar football, the NFL at large. With that, Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. We're live at EverBank on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Who's Mike Dempsey talking to at the Metro Diner chat counter? Find out on Jaguars Today, 10 to noon weekdays on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
Have you and Wisniewski found like a rhythm since he's been out there?
Yeah, it feels good. He feels good.
He feels good.
That sounds weird.
What?
Yeah, his butt's bigger than Bo's.
Oh, those kids. The funny, funny hijinks, Tony.
I'm getting to worry about Bortles.
Of the National Football
League. A lot of butt talking.
What are you worried about? Hey, man, it's 2015. You know what? Can't we all just get along here? Blake made a funny yesterday, apparently.
That sounds weird.
We were on the air the other day and on Sirius, and someone calls up and says, "What's the who would you take? Which rookie would you take first in a dynasty fantasy football league? A dynasty league is one in which you keep all of your players from year to year unless you cut them or trade them."
Sure.
Right? So my response was, well, I'm a girly guy. So, and then that kind of sounded funny to me as well.
Most of us are in that regard.
I am a girly guy. As much as you typically want to build your dynasty leagues around wide receivers, I could not pass up the opportunity to select Todd Gurley if given that chance.
Yep.
Put it that way.
Girly guy.
I'm a girly guy, Tony, is what I am, and I'm proud of it.
Sounds weird.
I'm okay with that. Hey, you know, again, you know, don't judge me.
That sounds weird.
I know, Blake. I know. We're just trying to make you, Blake, feel more comfortable about your own faux pas.
Different there. Butt sizes.
For all you know, I made that whole anecdote up, and what a doozy it was. All right. Shall we hear some from Blake Bortles? Why not? 641-1010 if you'd like to weigh in on the program today. Bortles talked about the center position. On a more serious note, he was asked about getting a rhythm with his center and specifically working with Wisniewski, who we expect but aren't guaranteed to see start the second preseason game.
His butt's bigger than Bo's. no, but they're both, they've been awesome. You know, that competition is going to make each of them better. You know, so whoever comes out on top, it'll be perfect. But, you know, both of them have done a really good job. They've made great calls. They've made great plays. And it's been fun to get reps with both of them.
Yeah, it doesn't suit Blake Bortles to pick a favorite in that battle, right?
No.
What difference does it make? I'll go out there. Honestly, is there that much difference to who's snapping you the football after if you could have a couple of days of practice with new guy? Like, let's say your center got hurt. You got an all-pro center. You worked with him for 10 years, Tony, and he gets hurt. You had a week of practice to get you up to speed. Wouldn't you be fine working with the center?
I guess you would be fine. And honestly, for Blake, if you're talking to schmoes like us in the media, even if you have a preference, this hitting the venue to say,
no!
Oh, this is, no, I want this guy.
Let me tell you why. Because I don't think Boyan.
I know the competition is still open, but as far as I'm concerned, it's closed. Like, it,
right.
Just, he's not going to
do that. I don't care
what
Gus says.
I know who I want to step the ball to.
Things you wouldn't hear Blake Bortles say. I got to make a note of all these great future Friday top fives. All
yeah.
Right, go ahead.
Blake Bortles also continuing that conversation about the center position was asked about how that competition could impact him.
I think a lot of people make a big deal out of it, but I mean, for me, it's honestly, it's not a big deal at all. I mean, I rotate every day with either Luke or with Wiz, and there's no difference in either one of them as far as taking a snap or everything that goes on. They're both unbelievable competitors. They're both really smart guys that have a good understanding of the offense and protections and mic calls and all that. So they've both been fun to work with, and you know, whoever comes out on top of it would be awesome.
All right, well, there you have it. Once again, diplomatic, I don't care. Snap me the football and let's go, and please block the guy in front of you. Right?
Yeah.
That's all I'm concerned
55.
About.
55, that's the number.
Right.
55.
Under 55. I can drive under 55. Please, please, please let me do that this year. By the way, I just did email myself things Blake Bortles would not say, and the issue is, Tony, on my email that I really pay attention to, that I'm constantly on top of, I have 431 unread emails.
Oh my goodness!
In there now, a lot of it
always on top of that.
No, you know what it is?
Emails.
A lot of it is like I'm signed up on some list or something, and I'm getting emails and I just skip past them instead of deleting them. So I've got to go back and do a little clean out, maybe before the start of the season takes place. All right, moving along. Blake Bortles talking about mechanics and what we referred to with Gus. Was commenting on, he was asked about this. Blake said, watching it on film, he could see the improvement in the mechanics.
Thought they were okay. You know, could I think the one on the ball I missed to Clay, sliding up in the pocket, I got kind of big and long and missed that throw. But, you know, I think for the most part they held up. So just trying to continue to carry that over week to week.
Micromanage it, pick it apart, that's fine. You know, the goal is to do it perfectly every time. I'm of the school of thought, if you can consistently deliver the ball accurately, I don't care what your mechanics look like, but that's why you worry about your mechanics, so you can do that. But if you have funky mechanics, yet deliver it accurately, you know, Philip Rivers has that shoulder shot put looking throw, but he's deadly accurate
effective.
With it. And he's honed in, and it works for him. You wouldn't teach him to, you wouldn't teach a kid coming up to throw that way, but it works. That's all I'm saying. If whatever Blake does works, I don't think anybody's going to care all that much about what it looks like.
No. In the end, as long as the ball's getting where it needs to on time, that's the important part of playing the position. Blake Bortles yesterday talking after practice also asked about the right side of that offensive line, specifically how Parnell has been.
I think they work really well together. And I think that's kind of an understatement, actually. They do a lot of good things. I think Parnell is a guy that he brings a physical presence about him. He's a tough guy. He wants to get after it and show you how tough and physical he is. And, you know, he's been an unbelievable addition to the offensive line.
All right, moving along here. Blake Bortles meeting with the media yesterday after practice. Blake was asked about Julius Thomas, and this is a question I think is a significant one. Julius Thomas, I'm sure he can keep his cardio up and he can run a little bit and whatever, and he's going to protect that hand. But is it important for Blake? And he talked about maintaining chemistry with Julius Thomas. How do you do that? Are you worried about that despite the injury severely limiting his reps in practice and what he can do?
I think it's hard. You know, he's like, we'll go throw routes to the tight ends and he'll run the routes. Nobody will throw him a ball, but he'll run the routes, which is good for him. He's staying in shape. He's working on his route running ability. So I think that's good. And it's kind of, it's difficult when you're not able to throw a ball and kind of feel, you know, the spots he's in and where you need to throw it, you know. But I think as soon as he's able to catch a ball, we'll get back to it and try to pick up where we left off.
I think it's a good sign that they even let him run routes, right? Because I would think there are some broken bone type injuries that you're afraid, you know, the jostling of just going at it and pumping your arms, that kind of thing, could maybe exacerbate that. I don't know. I'm guessing, as obviously not a doctor in the room here, Tony, but, you know, the fact that they're letting him just do everything but the actual process of catching the football leads me to believe that, yeah, maybe that timetable is pretty accurate. We will see him for the opener.
And like we talked about briefly yesterday, it feels like if this was a game week, Cyprian would be playing, and it's almost like Julius would be, you know, you wouldn't see what he is or isn't doing in practice, so it would be up to the coaches to tell you just how much he was participating in practice out there during the week once we get to the regular season. But it feels like even he would be almost like a game time, do we want to risk anything with this guy this week, right? Like it feels that way with these guys, but they have the benefit of having three more weeks where they don't have to make that decision with them. They can let them heal up a little bit and get whatever work they can. In practice, Bortles also asked yesterday on what he was most encouraged about coming out of that week one preseason game against Pittsburgh.
You know, it was probably, I think, mentally for the most part, just decision making. Obviously, you know, I think being able to throw the ball accurately was a big part of what I wanted to do. But I felt really good and comfortable mentally, you know, with protections, with concepts, with schemes, with the defense. Felt good, so I think that was encouraging, and that's something that I could continue to work on.
You know, Dan Hicken asked us on the top of the show what we thought the running back rotation would look like. And we pretty much agree that he said by week six, we think it'll be Yeldon as the primary with Denard Robinson as the next guy getting maybe half the carries, touches
a series
that Yeldon gets. Right. And you kind of worked in it. Toby Gerhart more of a third down role for him and maybe some short yardage as well. You never know. And that doesn't leave a whole lot for Bernard Pierce, but he has played well since he's come here to Jacksonville, has practiced well and shown well on the football field, and Bortles was asked about what he has seen from Bernard Pierce.
Yeah, I think the one thing that really sticks out about him is his effort. You know, we talked about Oldie made a big thing in OTAs back then and talking about everybody running to the ball, and he was a guy that on tape, no matter if it was 7-on-7 or team or whatever, as soon as the ball was thrown, you know, in 7-on-7 as a running back, you don't get a whole lot of balls to you as the check down. And every single time he was running and sprinting full speed, trying to catch the ball and help out and make a block. So that was kind of the first thing that stuck out. But he's a physical back. He's a smart dude that knows the offense and is really good in protection. And I think he runs really hard.
All those things are good, right? And that will catch a coach's eye. You got to go above and beyond when you're fighting an uphill battle. And right now, Tony, if I'm guessing, I mean, he's on the roster, right?
I think so, yeah. I think so. And look, it's completely different than the conversation that at least I was having about Bernard Pierce before training camp got started, basically, right? Where it was, if Pierce is going to make this roster, I felt like it was he had to out Toby.
At the expense of.
Right. It was he had to be a better third down back than Toby Gerhart. He had to be a better short yardage back than Toby Gerhart. And Toby's a guy who last year was willing to play on special teams. I saw him out there on Friday night. He's running down kickoffs. I didn't look for Pierce, you know, playing any kind of special teams role. But he's been good enough. Look, you're going to keep four, right? and he's been good enough that he's making it a really tough cut to leave Bernard Pierce off this roster.
And it comes down to, too, who wins the return jobs, right? If Corey Grant is in the mix to be
right
on the roster, that probably hurts Bernard Pierce's chances. But, you know, we're not sitting in there tabulating the roster requirements that they're going to give and how many positions or how many people each position that they're thinking about keeping right now. But just based on what he's shown on the field, I think he's looked surprisingly good.
Yep. Blake Bortles, one last thought from him, a pretty general question, but he was asked if the game just feels more natural to him now.
I think the word would probably be slower. It's slowed down more. It's, you know, feel more comfortable, feel more at home. You know, so and that'll just continue to come with repetitions and continuing to own the offense and feel more comfortable within that.
All right, there's your daily dose. A little Gus, a little Blake, get you caught up and ready to go. I guess the Jags on a plane tomorrow, Tony, I would imagine, to head up to New York, New Jersey, and take on the Giants on Saturday night. We'll have the broadcast here with you, beginning with the pregame at, 7:30 kick?
Yep,
on Saturday?
4:30.
4:30,
pre-game.
Just
yeah.
Like the other day, just like last Friday. 4:30 for the pregame. Right up through countdown to kickoff on the Jaguar Radio Network, right up until kickoff. And, of course, Frank Frangie, along with Jeff Logman and Tony Baselli in the booth on the call of that one. And we'll have 2 hours of postgame taking your calls as well, along with Freddie T checking in with us with his thoughts on the game. Freddie T with that sweet beard that he's rocking right now.
Yeah.
Is he getting in too late on the beard thing? Is the beard thing about to take a turn in the other direction? Or?
I don't know.
Still see a lot of them around.
Yeah.
As I look across the table at Tony. I tell you what. All right, there you go. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Coming up, we got this state in football history and the drive around the NFL. Jaguars Today continues from Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this state in football history.
All right, this state in football history is brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. It's a big one, Tony, because if what happened 95 years ago didn't happen, you and I would not be sitting in this room today.
Maybe not.
I would say. In 1920, they formed the American Pro Football Association. They, who's they? A bunch of guys who got together and formed this association. 2 years later, that association would come to be known as the National Football League. So today is basically the birth of the NFL on August 20th, 95 years ago today. Here's your lineup of squads. Apparently short on nicknames back in the 20s, Tony. Two teams named the Pros and two teams named the Tigers in the American Football Professional Football Association. The Akron Pros went 8-0-3 in the inaugural season. They took the title over the Decatur Staleys at 10-1-2. Notice not everyone is going to play the same number of games here. The Buffalo All-Americans went 9-1-1. The Chicago Cardinals, the Rock Island Independents, the Dayton Triangles, the Rochester Jeffersons, the Canton Bulldogs, the Detroit Heralds, the Cleveland Tigers, the Chicago Tigers, the Hammond Pros, and the Columbus Panhandles all played a season. The Muncie Flyers, they played one game, they lost it, and they called it a season, I guess, at that point in time.
How bad did they lose?
You know, that's a good question. 45-0. Points for, 0. Points against, 45. So there you go. 45-0. Streak, L1. Okay? By the way, they didn't have any playoffs. They got together and voted who would be league champion based on their performance that year. Now,
so it was like college.
It went right. It was for the first couple of years. It went to the Akron Pros because they didn't lose a game, although they only won 8 and they had the 3 ties. They were awarded the Brunswick Bulky Colander Cup, which has since been lost to history. No one has. There's not a photo of it in existence, and there is obviously the cup itself. No one knows where it is, or
right.
They'd probably take a picture of it at that point in time. So that is an interesting piece of sports memorabilia that you wonder whose attic that's hiding in right now. Born on this date, the one notable birthday for this date in 1971, Aronde Gadsden came in the world. Tony, if it weren't for Aronde Gadsden, it would have been 62-0, okay? He scored on a one-yard pass from Dan Marino with 1 second left in the first half. Maybe it wasn't a one-yard pass. It was one second left on the clock, as I recall. 6 for 62 and a touchdown in the 62-7 demolition of the Dolphins. This state in football history presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Well, as many feared yesterday, and despite Carolina Panthers head coach Ron Rivera classifying it as a knee sprain after practice, wide receiver Kelvin Benjamin will miss the entire 2015 season after suffering a torn ACL in his left knee in a one-on-one drill in practice. Benjamin caught 73 passes for 1,008 yards and 9 touchdowns during his rookie season last year in Carolina. A couple games on the NFL preseason slate tonight. Week 2 getting started at 7:30. Detroit's defense will have their hands full as they move on from Ndamukong Suh when they take on the best quarterback in the NFL. Just ask him. NRG3 and Washington. And at 8 o'clock tonight on ESPN, Buffalo, with their two rookie running backs in wide-open quarterback competition, will be in Cleveland, where America will have another chance to take a look at Johnny Manziel, reportedly at least, version 2.0 for Johnny.
Speaking of Johnny, we'll have some fun with Johnny coming up here shortly as I continue to empty out my email inbox. I have knocked out about 80
nice.
In the last 10 minutes. I just don't need that. I probably don't need, like, Jaguar game notes from week 11 from last season.
No,
I have
those
kind of things floating around. You know, I have all kinds of things floating around in my inbox that I never bother to click on and delete. 641-1010 is the phone number if you'd like to get in today. The question of the day, once again, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships, is which long shot to make the roster are you most rooting for to make the Jags final 53-man roster, whether because you just like that player, you like his name, you like the way he plays, you've seen good things out of him, whatever the case may be, who are you following closely to see if that person ends up on the 53? Let's go to the phones and welcome Ron into Jaguars today. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
What's up?
My long shot for making the 53-man roster is actually Chris Smith. A guy who came in with some underappreciated potential, seeing where he got drafted, I think fifth or sixth round. But somebody I thought that they might try to move to linebacker, maybe that auto position with his pass rush abilities in college and him also playing linebacker at the University of Arkansas. Somebody I think has the speed and the versatility to actually play that position and grow into somebody they can have for a very long time, being that he's a very young player. What do you guys think about that?
All right, I think the numbers game is still a tough proposition for Chris Smith, Tony. As the way Jeff Loggeman put it the other day was, you know, watching him on film, he doesn't think Chris, he thinks he's deceptively explosive because he says his greatest skill is anticipation.
Yeah.
He has a great knack for getting off on the snap of the football almost a half beat before anybody else, which makes him appear to have this lightning-fast first step. Now, it's great to have anticipation, but Jeff doesn't think, based on what he told us, and you didn't say this in this many words, but I don't think he thinks he has the physical skills that some people think he has, you know, with that initial burst and quickness. He you know, attributes a lot of that just to his savvy and knowing and having an innate sense. And that's great because he's going to carry that with him. But I still think the numbers work against Chris Smith right now.
I think they do. And look, Loggeman talked with us about Chris for a couple minutes the other day. And I've kind of felt the same way about Chris since he got here. I like him, right? Like, I like him, and I think there's a place for him in the NFL somewhere. I'm not sure that he's a fit here in Jacksonville for what they want to do on this particular defense. He's the right size thereabouts for a Leo, but he's not, he doesn't have any of the skills that you're really looking for from a Leo. And going into year two, he hasn't shown that he can overcome any of that stuff to become a really effective pass rusher for this team in that kind of role, which is where he's going to have to make a difference. He just hasn't yet, and he played quite a bit last year because of different injuries with Andre Branch and things that were going on. He played last year for this team. He played a lot on Friday night against Pittsburgh. And, yeah, his first step, it looks like lightning. And I do think he anticipates the snap probably better than anybody else on this roster here in Jacksonville. And because of that, he gets an advantage, but it doesn't look like whatever he needed to develop over the course from year one to year two doesn't look like it's there yet for Chris. As Loggeman put it when he was talking with us, he's a left defensive end in a 4-3 defense. And in Jacksonville, they don't have a left defensive end. They have a Leo. And if he can't do what they're asking the Leo to do, then in short order, Chris Smith probably isn't going to be a member of this team. I think he has a place in the NFL. I'm just not sure that in the end it's going to be here in Jacksonville just because of what they ask out of that position.
If you assume they're keeping 10 defensive linemen, which seems to be a number most people fall on, right? In no particular order, I'm just reading off a depth chart here. Again, in no particular order, Andre Branch, Ziggy Hood, Roy Miller, Jared Odrick. I understand they don't all play the same position. I'm talking about the total guys on the D-line. Chris Clements, Michael Bennett, Avery Jones, who they think is having a terrific camp, Tyson Alualu, Ryan Davis, and Derek Marks. Any of those guys not going to be here?
No.
Those are 10 right there. That got you to 10. Then you have Nordley Cappy.
That's right, Nordley.
Nordley. Nordley Cap Cappy.
I'd go by Cap, too.
I think I would as well. But hey, you know what? Good for Nordley and good for Cap. They're one and the same, trying to make the presence felt. But we did ask you. That's why we asked you. Chris Smith fits the protocol because we asked for a long shot.
I like him. Like, and it's one of those guys, I like him. I don't think he's going to be a part of the 53, but I like Chris Smith as a player. I'm just, it's nice to have to make those kinds of decisions where you feel like you're letting go of good football players finally. You know, it's a difficult decision for them to have to make along that defensive line. He's just, I don't know what he is in Jacksonville. I don't know what role he fits with this football team.
And you know what? That's the kind of the thing with Michael Bennett, right? Where they felt like Dave Caldwell, the way he explained it to us from his point of view, Michael Bennett didn't fit in a lot of defenses in the National Football League. He thought he was a very good fit for what they want to do here in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I got the sense Loggeman disagrees with that. Doesn't think he doesn't see those special traits in Michael Bennett. And again, we're not talking about first round special because he lasted to the sixth round. But nonetheless, that's often the case. People say, well, how come that guy didn't work out here? Sometimes it's a scheme fit, right? Sometimes you get a guy in that wasn't as great somewhere else. Maybe it's health, whatever combination of reasons. Some guys just take longer to click. And
sure.
I wouldn't be shocked if Chris Smith leaves here, if he does, and goes on to be an effective player somewhere in the National Football League if he can find the right role for himself. On the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, Tony, from Bold City Batman. Yo, it's Batman. I'm watching to see if Jackson is going to make this team, because if not, I know a backup. LOL. Hashtag, I'm salty. Hashtag, Duval till we die. Batman believes he should be inside the costume, I believe. So would he be a guy in a costume, if that were the case?
I guess so, yeah.
Would he go, would Bold City Batman go full Batman regalia under the Jackson
outfit? Would he actually
outfit?
Talk to the kids? Like, the mascot doesn't talk to the kids, but would he be, like, doing the Batman thing, talking to them?
I don't know.
You know?
He might.
Go Jaguars.
Hey, kids. It's me, Batman. You're not Batman!
I'm the mascot you deserve.
You're Catman! all right, Tony, you know, I meant to mention, and now's as good a time as any, we finally got a new shipment in. And it's on me. It's on me to order these things, but we finally got a new shipment in the Jaguars Today t-shirts, the highly coveted Jaguars Today
t-shirts. Oh, we
t-shirt.
Got new shirts!
Yes, we got new shirts.
A great job!
Yes, thank you. They're the same style, same look, the black shirts.
Got people harassing me left and right about shirts.
Oh, my goodness.
Everyone wants to wear the shirts.
And now here comes the harassment level up to 11.
You're right. Well, look, there are conditions on this. Not only do we decide who's going to get them based on Twitter and other things.
Yes.
If you flatter us the right kind of way, maybe you get a shirt.
Maybe.
It depends.
Maybe not.
The other thing is, if you get the shirt, we have to get pictures of you wearing said shirt.
Yes.
I know we've gotten them from Brazil. We've gotten them from up in D.C. From across the world, we've had pictures.
We have.
Of the Jaguars Today shirts out there. So if you're going to get a shirt, I'm not saying you got to go to Brazil and take a picture of it.
Wouldn't hurt.
I'm saying whatever you're doing, there needs to be a picture of you doing something kind of cool with the Jaguars Today
now,
shirts.
Did we send one to Cristiano down in Brazil? I can't remember, because when he took the picture of the Jaguars Today, he was holding up the Jaguars Today correspondent sign. He was wearing a Bold City shirt in that one.
I don't know.
I don't know if we did or not. I'll have to look back in the archives. Cristiano, let us know if you need one to represent us at the Pro Bowl whenever they decide to send it down your way. We'll keep one on ice for you. I mentioned I've got some Johnny Manziel connection here for you, digging through my email. when we return in a moment, Tony, we'll let the listeners play along at home on this one with the home version of Jaguars today. This was one of the oldest emails I had in my inbox that was unread. I had sent myself a link to a story from last August. In fact, it's almost the one-year anniversary of the story. We needed to wait a few more days. It was at the height of Manziel craziness, and it was basically a pop quiz. Who said it? And they give you the quotes, 10 quotes. Who said it? Johnny Manziel or Justin Bieber? And we'll find out if Fat Tony can discern a year ago when Johnny Manziel was going full Johnny Manziel.
I don't know about
who
this.
Was more likely to have said these quotes. We will let you play along at home coming up in just a few mere moments. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Glad you're along with us. 641-1010 if you want to get in. That's the way to do it. It's Jaguars Today live at Everbank on 1010XL 92.5 FM. I'm taking it this is Bieber, right? Or it could it be Manziel? Nah, it's Bieber. I think. I did see him on Saturday Night Live once. He actually was pretty decent, I thought, on Saturday Night Live, Tony. I couldn't tell you that I could name any of Justin Bieber's songs.
You know, Baby. The one that he played, like, going into the break a moment ago. Everybody's heard Baby.
I may have heard it. I couldn't have. If you had asked me to name a Justin Bieber song, I would not have said Baby. I wouldn't have said anything.
That's the only one I know.
Now, then again, would I admit if I did know? Chances are I wouldn't. So, am I lying or am I telling the truth?
It's just awful. There it is.
Oh, that one. There you go.
Yeah.
I've heard it.
Yeah.
I've heard it. I couldn't have pulled that out of my own resources in my mind.
Well, I told you. Yeah. I learned a lot of things about pop culture from, like, South Park and that kind of stuff, and they had a good time with Bieber and Baby on South Park.
Man,
I've not had
the bandwidth for South Park in too many years. It's a great show. On the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, am I confused on this? I don't know. I believe you meant.
Are you?
I am confused on this. Why do we call it our Leo or left end when I think they line up on the right side almost every time? Maybe I'm wrong. I think it might have been a little confusing the way you described it. They don't have a traditional left end. Their left end is more of a defensive end in a 3-4 scheme. He's more of a space-eating, hold-the-point-of-attack guy, where a traditional 4-3, and, I mean, J.J. Watt's in a 3-4 primarily as well.
It's like Jared Allen.
Like Michael Strahan.
Yeah.
Okay? You can have a pass-rushing left end in a 3-4. It's going to be more of a strong against the run, but does provide some pass rush, whereas here the left end practically is not a pass rush guy, and they will flip the Leo around, depending on where the matchup advantage is. I would default and say if I were drawing up a depth chart, you'd have a left end and Leo would be on the right side.
Usually, yes.
Yeah. No need to be confused. We may have misspoken there. But you ready for your pop quiz, Tony?
Guess so.
This goes back to basically a year ago, even more than a year ago. I don't know when. I guess maybe I was looking at something else. This was from Tuesday, July 29th of 2014. See, I'm always thinking, maybe one day this will come in handy on the show. And I email myself this stuff, and then it goes to the bottom of my inbox.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I don't claim I have the most unread email. I know 400 is probably not a lot for a lot of people. Heck, my wife has 10 times as many unread emails. And I just always ask, why don't you just delete them all? You're never going back to read them. But I might need... Oh, stop it.
Sure.
Stop it. My wife doesn't need anything that's in her email. If she didn't have email, she'd be just fine, I think. But Tyler said when he walked in today, Balls Davis was still logged into his email, and Tyler happened to glance and notice that he had 15,000 unread emails. So if you're not getting good response from the drill,
good gracious!
Now we know why. And then Teal'Pocalypse tweeted me, and he said basically he gave up a while ago, and he showed me a picture. Now I'll take him at his word that this is his. Of a mail icon indicating there were 33,291 unread missives in the inbox. So I didn't say it was the most, but it's a lot for me. And here's one of them. Who said it, Bieber or Manziel? All right, let me bring this up here.
Okay. And, did you actually grab quotes for this once upon a time?
No. Did I?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
What do you mean, did I grab quotes?
Like,
have we talked about this on the air before, you say?
You probably mentioned this on air and then emailed yourself about it.
I emailed myself a link to the article, which includes the quiz with all the quotes in it.
I don't remember doing the quiz.
Oh, we didn't do the quiz. Yeah. I guarantee you we didn't do the quiz.
I didn't know if you had pulled 10 quotes yourself.
No.
That's a lot of research.
I don't know. No. Here we go. We'll start. And I don't know who said these, but I can guess. And we'll go through 10 questions, and then we'll grade you, so play along at home and keep score for yourself.
Okay.
First quote. Quote, nothing illegal about being 18 plus in a casino and winning money. Keep hating. Who said it?
That's Bieber.
Okay, you're going to go with Bieber on that one. All right, question or quote number two.
Yeah.
It's not a fluke that I'm here. I'm here for a reason, and I'm here for a lifetime, and no one is going to get rid of me.
Gosh. I think it's Bieber again.
Okay, another Bieber. Number three, I'm not going to conform to what people want me to be or go out there and start partying, have people see me with alcohol.
Manziel.
That's a confusing quote. Okay, going with Manziel. Quote four, I want my world to be fun. No parents, no rules, no nothing. Like no one can stop me. No one can stop me.
That's got to be Bieber.
I would think so.
Yeah.
I would think so. Number five, I'm going to try to let people know who I really am deep down in my core and that I'm not the guy who does whatever is portrayed on the internet.
That really could apply to both of them. With
it
the
really
whole,
could. That's why it's a good quiz.
The monkey in Germany and I'll go Manziel.
He's going Manziel on that one. And don't forget peeing in the mop bucket.
Yeah.
Okay, you got that as well to answer for. All right, number six, I want to show you all the finer things in life, so just forget about the world. We're young tonight.
That's Bieber.
Gotta be. Is that a lyric?
I have no idea.
Sounds like a lyric. All right.
I don't think Mantel's that musical.
In response to a reporter asking him, who would you like to party with? Here's the quote. The reply was, quote, Charlie Sheen, Rob Gronkowski, and Tiger Woods.
Bieber.
I'm going to go off the board and say every Denny's waitress. Okay. Going to question eight. I'm not going to change who I am for anybody. Am I going to live in a shell or am I just going to hide from everybody and not do anything? I don't think that's the way I should live my life, and I'm not going to do it.
Manziel.
Tony feels good about this right now. Question nine. Quote nine. That was Joe Fortunato weighing in for the Peanut Gallery, you may have heard. But that quote was attributed to Hacker. I'm not going to change who I am for anybody. Dirt. I'm going to live in a shell. I'm not going to live in a shell, or I'm just going to hide from everybody and not do anything. I don't think that's the way I should live my life, and I'm not going to do it. Damn it. All right, quote number nine. Everyone in my team has been telling me, keep the press happy, but I'm tired of all the countless lies in the press right now.
Bieber.
Biba Las Vegas. And finally, I can't hear you. There's too much money in my effing hand.
That's Manziel. Yeah.
All right. Let's grade the quiz.
I have no idea.
And see how fat Tony did. You scored 60%. Tony.
Hey!
60%. Here's the ones you missed.
Is that a D nowadays? I don't even know. Is that still an F?
I don't know. It used to be a D. When I came up, it was a D. Right? It was like 90 to 100 was an A, 80 to 89 was a B,
mm-hmm.
and so on. And then all of a sudden they're like 93 to 100 is an A,
yeah,
85
changed it up
to 92.
On
right.
And it used to like, be easy. It was intense.
Yeah, it was like 60%. I can pass this. Okay, here we go. The ones you missed. Nothing illegal about being 18 plus in a casino and winning money. Keep hating. You said Bieber. It was really Johnny Football. Moving on, I'm not going to conform to what some people want me to be or go out there and start partying, have people see me with alcohol. You said Manziel, that was Bieber. Okay? Oh, there you go. All right, what else did you miss here?
Ugh.
I'm going to try to let people know who I really am deep down in my core and that I'm not the guy who does whatever is portrayed on the internet. You said Manziel. That's a Bieber.
That's one of those heartfelt Bieber moments.
Yes. And then finally,
like at the end of his roast, I just want to thank everybody for all your support over the shut up.
In response to a reporter on who he would like to party with, Charlie Sheen, Rob Gronkowski, and Tiger Woods, you said Bieber. That was
Johnny. That was Mantell.
That was Johnny. So, there you have it. And we hope you played along at home. If you scored a perfect score, perhaps you're eligible for a Jaguars Today t-shirt, but I doubt it.
That's right. Or you're a 15-year-old girl who knows everything that Bieber has said and said, well, he didn't say that. So it's Mantell.
It's clearly Mantell, that other fellow that I've never heard of that you're asking about.
One of those who I watch videos that Fallon and those guys do of asking Bieber fans about different scenarios. It's like handicapped parking. And they'll ask a bunch of Bieber fans, these girls, like, if there was a handicapped parking spot, should Justin Bieber be able to park there? And they're like, of course, Justin Bieber should be able to park wherever he wants. And they're like, what if a handicapped person, like, needs that spot? And they're like, he's Justin Bieber. Like, and you're just watching these people going, they're going to be adults someday.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm feeling good that I don't think we're very big in the 15-year-old female demo.
No, probably
right
not.
Now, I think
bashing on Bieber is probably popular among our listeners.
I think we're okay in that regard. So there you have that. That's an example of the kind of junk I keep in my email long after it's of any use to anyone. Not that that ever was, but in that moment, it probably seemed very relevant to me that we would roll with that. By the
right.
way, I am not naive. I should have realized, and I kind of did realize that we would open the floodgates to the begging with the t-shirts.
Okay? Oh, it's full bore right now.
We did not tell you we got a new order of t-shirts in so you could tell us why you deserve one today. But just so you know, you should be paying attention to us reinstituting the t-shirt giveaway program. Maybe next week we'll do that kind of on the question of the day basis and give away a bunch leading up to the start of the football season and see where we stand at that point in time. But, oh, they're all making a case. And by the way, if you're angling for a t-shirt saying, I'll let my girlfriend wear it, and she's hot, we probably need photo evidence of that beforehand, okay? So, feel free to submit that. No guarantees that you're going to get a t-shirt, but you're welcome to submit that. I hope your girlfriend is an adult. Let's put it that way, okay? That's what we're going with right there. All right, coming back, fan feedback spotlight today, asking folks, which long shot are you rooting for the most to make this roster? Who do you have your eye on? And we'd love to hear what you had to say, so we will come back and read some of your tweets and some of your Facebook posts as well and see where your mind is on that whole situation. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, still time for you to get in at 641-1010, either via the phone lines or the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Jaguars Today continues live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Yeah. 641-1010, the Boston's Restaurant Sports Bar text line. Unnamed texter.
Yeah, thank goodness we're back to some rock and roll. That Bieber stuff was driving me crazy.
You're loving it, man. Tony had a big grin on his face every time he missed one, and it was Bieber was the answer. Here comes a little more Biebs. This one in, Tony. You should give Irene S., who's a member of the HFL, one, a t-shirt so she can wear it tonight for the draft. I don't know. Call me crazy. Maybe we'll save those for the people who play in the Jaguars Today fantasy leagues.
Yeah,
this year, of which there will be two. We have determined there
and
were
don't
two
start
last year.
Texting or emailing about
Seriously,
that either.
Anyone who texts me today or tweets me today begging for a spot in the league, you're not going to get one. We're not determining that today. We are tentatively planning on drafting Monday and Tuesday, leading up to the opening game. That would be, I think, the 7th and 8th of September.
Yes.
Have a draft Monday night, have a draft Tuesday night. You and I will play in both leagues, and then we'll invite several 1010 Jaguars Today people, like Tyler Devitt, to play, Donna Murphy to play, Lauren Brooks is in. And once we determine how many of those, then we'll know how many spots we have.
Yes.
And defending champ from last year, there were a couple leagues. I'll have to go back and look and see if we could determine who the defending champ was. We'll invite them back. So that's going to cut down the spots even more. And then when you realize that there's really no great prize attached to play, that may dampen the enthusiasm of everyone else involved. But in addition to that, we're going to do weekly FanDuel leagues starting in week one. It's going to be $5 to play. And whether you're an existing FanDuel player or if you want, just go log in FanDuel.com, use promo code Mike. And your first deposit, put as much as you can up to $200, because that's what your bonus is that'll get released as you play. And if you're playing with us, figure over the course of the season, 16, 17 weeks, $5 a week, about $100 investment.
Sure.
And you can win straight cash homie every single week. And you're just competing against us and every, just, it's going to be just a Jaguars Today
slash so much better than a
FanDuel
shirt.
Fantasy forecast. Real money.
Cash.
But in the other drafts we're talking about, you know, your typical season long leagues.
Yeah.
Perhaps we will provide the listeners who participate with a Jaguars Today t-shirt.
It's not a bad idea.
But only after we determine that they're not going to draft Josh Scobie in round one. Was it round one or two that Scobie went a couple of years ago?
It was one.
Was it one?
Yeah.
At which point we promptly kicked that person out of the league, I believe is what happened.
Well, was it that?
No, I think they took Andrew Luck first.
Yeah, it was Andrew Luck. They were like the fourth overall pick.
And I think it was like a rookie.
It was
maybe?
His rookie year.
So they took Andrew Luck and they came back with Scobie in round two and we said, that's it. Stop the presses. You're out of the league.
And then it was Harbor, right? At some point they took Clay Harbor.
Did we let him go with three picks?
I don't know.
Maybe it was. I don't know. Maybe we couldn't figure
or
out.
Or maybe it was like he took Scobie and we was like, come on, dude. And then he like replaced that pick with Harbor. And that's when I think we finally kicked
right.
him out.
So maybe we'll determine whether or not you were trolling us. Or not, before you get the t-shirt. I don't know, because they're so coveted. They actually are very coveted. I have people ask me all the time, can I get a shirt? Well, we got some new ones in, and off we go. All right, today, Fan Feedback Spotlight, which does not have a shirt attached to it today, Tony, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Looking for the long shots. Who do folks root for right now on this Jaguar roster that they'd like to see make the team?
Here's what we got from Colby. He said Cap Cappy on his name alone.
Nordley.
Nordley Cappy. Cap Cappy flows a little bit better
Nordley
than Nordley.
Cap Cappy.
Yeah. From Lamar, cornerback Nick Marshall, then maybe an eventual look at free safety from Ocho Fisho. Long ding. Oh, wait. This year, probably Tyler Shatley. From Eric, he may not be a long shot, but I'm pulling for Nick Marshall to find a spot. Hashtag undrafted. From Ryan, linebacker John Latulele because of that hustle, those hard hits, and that hair. From Black Dog, Sam Young, because he is just so damn big, 6'8", 316 at the offensive tackle. Hashtag big is good. From Demetrius Aurelius Ben, you're starting to see why he was a second-rounder despite injury history. The talent was always there. It feels like he's probably on the roster at this point. From Isaiah, Nick Marshall. From Dusty, Casey Redfern. Block punts and Gene Smith caused him to be my pick to make it. Hashtag shut up, Randy. And then from Cristiano, Ikpanwanosa, Ikbanusen,
IK.
Yeah,
got
IK.
Got her own IK there.
I want to see people handling the pronunciation. Well, I tried for you, Cristiano. Hashtag tongue twisting. And there we go.
All right. Some on Facebook here. Josh Wiggins said, I'm rooting for a veteran left tackle yet to be dropped from another team to make our 53-man roster. So you have that one. Followed by Adrian Jackson, I'm rooting for one of the tediously repetitive jokel bashers to be picked up and given a chance at defensive end. I'm sure they could demonstrate just how bad he is in practice before being peeled off the turf and sent home in favor of someone who deserves the roster spot. Because that's truly the indicator as to whether the guy is good. Can he beat a man on the street who is an internet commentator or perhaps radio loudmouth in a one-on-one pass-blocking drill? That's usually the standard that we're looking for
whatever,
out of the starting left tackle.
Whatever criticism I have of Jokel, I fully understand he would destroy me.
Does that need to be said? Does that need... I mean, we kind of figure that's understood in the process, that we sit back and we make our comments, and they are what they are, and if you don't like them, that's fine. Maybe we're tediously repetitive as well. I don't consider myself a Jokel basher at all. I consider myself a realist who's very matter-of-fact about the fact that he hasn't been spectacular. He hasn't been good, I don't think, up until this point. Now, granted, he could turn out to be very good, but I think it bears watching. If that makes me a tediously repetitive jokel basher, perhaps I need to be out there getting peeled off the turf, Tony. And wouldn't that learn me? Oh, that'll learn you.
Oh, I'd never criticize him again.
Continuing on, long shots to make the roster. Dustin Smith went with Gus Bradley. I think Gus is safe to make the opening day roster.
I think so, too.
I think he'll be okay on that one. A couple more votes for Cap Cappy. Steve Muncy, Damon Austin, Cap Cappy, period. And then George Weirich took himself out of all T-shirt consideration. I think he may have had one in the past, though, by voting for Blaine Gabbert. So... just I don't know.
Blaine.
You know, that's like, it doesn't bother me. It takes you 2 seconds. It's not like, you know, I hear Hacker get all indignant sometimes, like, you took the time out of your day to tweet me, so tell me who's getting over on who. It doesn't really take that much time to make these comments, but I'm thinking, what are you getting out of that?
Right.
You just got to throw Blaine Gabbert in the answer to every question.
Right. You probably chuckled to yourself while you said it, which is fine. But I'm glad we had you entertained.
We spent the last 21 seconds discussing it, so.
I did watch him week one of the preseason, at least a lot of his game, and it was, you see it again. It's like, oh, there's that throw. Like, you know it. You see that arm, and you're like, man, if he could ever just, it's a, like, he's not getting pressure, and then they send that blitz. And it's just running free at him, and it's just that back leg.
Ah, let me get rid of this.
Just threw it up into the air. I'm like, there he is. There's the guy I watched.
Yeah, don't let these numbers make you feel good, Blaine, okay?
Because I was watching him with a friend, and he's making these throws, and he's like, man, he's throwing the ball pretty well. It's like, he always throws the ball pretty well. He's got a really good arm. Just wait till somebody's in his face a little bit, and then you'll see it again. And sure enough, a little bit of pressure and just flailing.
Jaguar fandom, and when I say Jaguar fandom, obviously I don't speak for every individual out there. Nobody can be, not every individual in a group can be encompassed by one point of view. But when I say Jaguar fandom, I think the significant majority of the passionate Jaguar fandom out there roots for Blaine to have zero success. I don't, it's like Cecil Shorts. You know what? Hey, Cecil Shorts couldn't stay healthy. Wasn't for lack of effort, right? You wish it was
somewhere besides Houston.
You wish it was besides Houston, but Cecil's such a good guy. He was such a hard worker that I hope he has a fantastic career. I hope he stinks twice a year.
And is still pumping up the team on his way out the door. Right, like, they're asking him about Blake, and he's like, he's going to be great.
He's going to be a superstar, is what he said. He was asked about that a few days ago. I think we had that. We never got to it. I think that was on Monday. Maybe we saw that quote. A guy like that, very easy to root for. I don't think anybody begrudges Daryl Smith having a success. I don't think anybody begrudges, Justin Forsett was here for an eye, a blink of an eye. And, he had a career year last year. That's more like, damn our luck, because he wasn't healthy when he was here. But Blaine, there's an active desire to see him continue on the trajectory.
There's this glee taken every time you see him perform badly.
Oh, there is. And I'm sure there's a glee when he deposits those paychecks into his account.
No doubt.
Or direct deposit comes in, and that's the way it goes. Let's see. Here we go. Oh, this one for Thomas Stallings. He goes, I don't want to be in your sucky league. It's a good one on Twitter. Keep the damn T-shirt, and please, for the love of Pete, stop talking Bieber. Hashtag throwing up. Okay, we'll talk a little more Bieber. I'm all for a train wreck. And Thomas throwing up all over himself suits the bill right now.
I watched the clip of South Park killing him during the break.
Did you now?
I did. It's a quick clip if you want to look it up. South Park Bieber. That'll get you there. You can watch him. Bieber die as many times as you want on South Park.
Jonathan Hopkins tweeted, says, let's not write you off. We teach you a few moves, you may get him. That's in regards to my one-on-one matchup with Jokel, I believe. That's what that is. That's not me. It's not me. It's not just me. Anyway.
That's fantastic.
Partly me. Coming down the home stretch here. I know this is not pertinent directly to the National Football League, but I found it very interesting nonetheless, and I heard the guys on the drill discuss it a little bit this morning. The Football Writers Association of America's 75th anniversary All-American team was put out there, and the headline, the hook was Staubach closely beat out Tim Tebow in a vote for who was college football's all-time quarterback over the last 75 years, and just an amazing array. And I tend to agree with the guys. Jerry Rice doesn't belong on here, although he did in college catch more than 300 passes, including for 50 touchdowns, but at a much lower level. And he wasn't a slam-dunk best receiver in the draft because he didn't, clearly several teams passed on him for other receivers, stupid teams, as it turned out. But nonetheless, Roger Staubach, Herschel Walker, Archie Griffin are your backfield. Wide receivers, Jerry Rice, Larry Fitzgerald, your tight end, Keith Jackson. Offensive line, all these guys, just amazing. I mean, Hall of Famers. Dave Remington for Nebraska. They consider that the greatest offensive line in college football back in the day when Miami upset them for the national championship, their first title. Orlando Pace, Will Shields, who we got to meet this year out at the Super Bowl, just went into the Hall of Fame. Ron Yeri, also out of USC, who... another Hall of Famer, and John Hanna, who many consider maybe the best guard of all time in the National Football League. On defense, Tommy Nobis from Texas, Mike Singletary out of Baylor at the linebacker spot, Derek Thomas from Alabama, and Dominican Sue on the defensive line. I didn't see many guys move two players at once like Dominican Sue did.
Boy, he was crazy in college.
I worked sideline for the Gator Bowl when they played Clemson, Nebraska Clemson, and that man just threw people around like rag dolls. Leroy Selman also on the D-line with Ted Hendricks out of Miami, Leon Hart from Notre Dame, and then your defensive backs, Jack Tatum, Charles Woodson, Deion Sanders, Ronnie Lott. That's not a scrub in the bunch there. Kevin Butler, Ray Guy, your kicker punter, and Johnny Rogers, your return man, extraordinaire Heisman winner for Nebraska in the early 70s. Tebow did make the second team quarterback in there. Fred Biletnikoff out of FSU made the second team as well. And I want to say Miami had a guy on the second team, but I might be wrong about that in terms of local interest. Randy Moss made the second team.
Reed.
Well, there you go. It was Ed Reed. I thought I saw another one. He was buried in there among the defensive backs. That's a pretty damn good secondary, too. Jerry Gray out of Texas, Ed Reed, Kenny Easley, and Champ Bailey. My goodness, man. That's some damn good players. As you would expect, the cream of the crop of the last 75 years in college football. Maybe we'll hear more about that on Hacker's 13th anniversary. I guarantee you we're going to hear about that today. XL Primetime coming up. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, thanks to Gus Bradley and Blake Bortles for stepping up to the mic today and bringing you that. Tomorrow, wall-to-wall Bieber. What else can we do, right? It's Jaguars Today signing off. We'll say hello to the boys of XL Primetime. Coming up next, right here on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.
Woo! That's great job!